cliffcentral.com. Welcome to the Futurology Show, proudly sponsored by MTN Business. Hello, B2.
Hey, B1.
I'm back in the driver's seat.
You are?
I know, it feels so good.
It feels odd over here now. I got really comfortable really quick.
So you can come sit next to me
really?
If you want.
No, I'll stay over here.
I tell you what, you know my views on Cape Town, but the weather was so cuck.
So good to come back. It's because I wasn't there, bro. See,
no, I know. 100%. So I don't really want to go back into Ghana, but I must say, what an amazing journey. I mean, that 6 weeks of interviews, the culmination. So for the listeners, yes. I really do suggest go back to the podcast, listen to the 6 podcasts, and then maybe God, like last week's show when we did that whole that whole wrap
up. Speed dating.
Okay, so back in Joburg, back to normality, and back to the app of the week. So my app of the week, which incidentally is actually Apple's app of the week. Coincidence, I don't know, maybe I like was searching and came across it. But anyway, it's called...
You're being controlled.
Okay, we actually have to take a sidebar here. So we're going to be talking about Google just now, and... You broke my heart, okay? I'm just telling you that outside. If I get Nancy with you outside just now, then that's why. So I'm just putting it out there. But anyway, back to my app of the week. So the app of the week is Flowing. It's basically a meditation, relaxation type app. Probably the reason I was looking for it is that I had quite a stressful trip down. It was a long 3 days. I was like actually looking for something.
Did you find your there's your laptop.
I have my laptop. Okay. I don't be forgetting about that now. but I was a mobilist. It was awesome. So Flowing, as I said, when I came across the research, when I was looking for their website, I see it is Apple's free app of the week. So it's obviously a paid app. I didn't see it on Android. So if you want to go to Pixel, Brett, good luck with you. You won't find this cool app. But yeah, go check it out. I do want to mention while we're on app of the week, okay, yes, is iMessages. So for non-Apple users, iMessage is like when you get an SMS, but if you're an iPhone to iPhone or MacBook to iPhone or anything in the Mac
it's
environment,
it's BBM or WhatsApp.
It's like BBM, but it's a closed group. I cannot believe how many stickers have actually popped up. Now, Brett's rolling his eyes, but there's a reason for it. Apple's whole big push is into China. Okay, and if you look at how WeChat started all those years ago, it was all based on its stickers.
Yeah.
Now you can actually do it. I was playing rock, paper, scissors with someone on iMessage. It's the coolest thing. You download these little packs. Now we've got Trump stickers, like Donald Trump and his different hairdos. Halloween's coming, so the Halloween packs have come. It's just, I don't know, it was pretty fun.
Have you seen the digital touch thing? I was sent a digital touch message.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, what the heck
is that? Yeah, you like have kisses blowing on the lips and fire and stuff.
I was actually glad that my wife sent it to me and not you, actually.
Well, I thought about it, but I didn't. So, and now that you've told me you don't want me to. Okay, so we were going to chat about this last week, but we really ran out of time with our speed dating.
Yes.
But our friend, Mr. Elon Musk, I mean, we are on first name basis with him. He has said he is sending humans to Mars. He reckons that by 2024, it's a bit more, 8 years.
I think you have to leave a little bit before that if you want to make it on time.
So by 2024, with an option to return, okay, he said highly unlikely and high risk that it won't happen, but he is, you know, unlike that other, remember that Mars project when the guys were like trying to, in fact, the South African was selected into the finals. He will plan that his ships will return, and it's only going to cost you $200,000. So if you have $200,000 floating, mind you, given what's going to happen in the next couple of weeks' time in the voting, the dollar might not be so strong anymore.
Yeah.
So $200,000, 2024, you can go to Mars. And you know what, Brett? You can go to Mars because I'm just shit not going.
If you do end up buying that ticket and going, you might be going with Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay, so my wife is going.
Yeah. So all of a sudden...
Is Angelina Jolie going?
No, but Brad might have to after this separation.
Then my wife's definitely going, which actually might not be a bad investment. 200 grand... versus normal. Okay, cool. We'll have a look at it. So, yeah, he's basically made a statement, and that's it's quite a bold statement.
It's pretty cool because there are some people that just need to be on Mars. Like, they really need to go. Like, if they can take the Trump with, that'd be amazing.
I promise you there's a lot of people that would club in for that.
Oh, yeah.
But you know what he'll do? He'll get up there with his little finger and pinky sign going, but I've already got a plane, and I can go there when I want to.
He's going to make Mars brilliant again.
And then he'll deny it. He'll say, I never said I wanted to go to Mars. He'll make it brilliant again. It's called Mars Trumpville. It's already been named. You've already claimed it. I'm going to leave that one for now. We were chatting off air about Uber Eats, that it's now finally in South Africa. I haven't used it yet, but I see it as going nuts. In fact, our guest today was saying that he's been using it. But the only problem that I have with it, from what I can see, is it's a separate app. Now, I don't know if I'm right or wrong. I think I'm led to believe it's a separate app, Brian. Yes,
correct. Yeah, but it migrates your personal information and your credit card information to the new app, so you don't need to re-register again.
Okay, that's fine, but it's still another app, which is more realty on my phone. There, I thought that kind of like that's their way of saying. If this doesn't work, we just make it disappear. You know, they kind of didn't commit to it because normally you'd put your stuff into your app.
It's pretty cool, though. So let's call it an MVP from Uber. It's a minimum viable product, and they're getting something out there, but it's working.
Look, I've heard nothing but good things. In fact, remember when I mentioned that restaurant 2 weeks ago, the cheesesteak guys?
I've actually got a bunny chow on the way to the office right now. We're going to have to wrap this up.
Rather send it, yeah. But they were saying that they joined the Uber Eats, and it's been fantastic for them. Actually, the demand is there. It's interesting to watch. Mm. It goes back to that whole discussion on disruption. You know, these guys haven't just sat back and said, okay, well, we screwed up the entire taxi industry. Mm. Let's just ride it out, pun intended. They've actually doing something about it, you know, which I think is very cool. So, okay. Now, this, I'm sorry, is the height of – it's called Nike Hyper Adapt 1.0. Do you know what that is?
Say it again slowly.
Nike?
Yes.
Hyper Adapt 1.0, version 1.
I've got Back to the Future in my head with these auto-tie shoes.
Okay, it's not. Okay. Yes, it is. Auto-tie, yes. Self-tying shoes.
Yes.
Okay, I have a new name for it. I'mfuckinglazy.com. I mean, if you cannot tie your own shoelaces, really, you shouldn't be wearing shoes.
You do know we're doing a show about robotics, and Ryan's going to...
No, I don't care. That's not robotics. That's just pathetic. I mean, I watched the video. You put your foot in. You push a button. The thing goes... Like those pumps in the old days, LA Gears. Most people don't even remember that stuff. And these things suck around your feet. I'm sorry. You're going to pay through your ass for these shoes. And then what do they do? They're no better than normal shoes, but they self-tie. And then what happens if they power down?
But what if you're exhaustipated?
This is going back to
But what if you're exhaustipated? That was my word of the day yesterday. Exhaustipated. Tired to give a shit.
Dude, Wally.
Okay. Yes, no, exactly. Wearing shoes at that point, sir.
So. Well, they don't have to because what are you going to do in the battery? Oh, you mean I actually have to charge it? Oh, well,
they can't walk anyway, so.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, Nike. Really?
Hyperadapt.
Yeah, no. Hyperadapt 1.0, hyperadapt.
Okay. I think what we have shown in this global economy and this connected society is that there's somebody will buy it, and not just somebody.
Not somebody,
huge
millions
amounts
of people
will buy it.
I mean, Nike's an American company. I can just
have they invested in batteries?
Maybe they self-chargers. Like, as Solar you walk, power. They charge.
That'd
be
cool.
What do you call it? Impact charging or kinetic. Energy. Yeah, kinetic. You see, I know something. Kinetic energy. Okay, so here's something that, Brett, you can buy me for Christmas. It's called Distractagon. And then I'm going to buy you one for Christmas.
A Distractagon. Does that mean you leave? Because you distract me all the time. Shit.
Nice. Where's that mic button?
A distractor is gone. My wife would like that.
No, listen, she'll love it. It's called Distractagon. It's a box. It looks like a pencil case. And you set a timer on it. And you put something in there.
Oh,
and the box locks down until the timer runs out. So you put your cell phone in there. Cade, if you're listening, boy, you're getting a Distractagon for Christmas. And
it's not a Pokemon.
Yeah, not a Pokemon. You're getting a Distractagon. But basically, you lock your device or lock whatever it is you want away, and there's nothing you can do about it until that countdown goes down.
That's awesome.
I think it's freaking amazing, and I need one. I then have to go into a very, very sad note, and that is BlackBerry made an announcement that they're not making handsets anymore. Do not judge. Do not comment. It's a precursor to Google. You know I love my BlackBerry. Okay, now, I was so upset I shot a mail to BlackBerry's marketing team. I'm like, wow. Not that anyone in South Africa can do anything. Apparently, they will do hardware deals still. So they'll outsource their hardware manufacturer to someone else. So we'll still see these. Because they've just launched Android. You know, it's a second brand. It gets me going. I'll tell you why. It's the second time that a brand that I love has done something that makes sense and then freaking killed it. When Microsoft bought Nokia, okay, Nokia came up with a project phone called X1, okay? It was an Android-based, but bloatware removed and then integrated. So, like, for example, instead of maps, they had here, which is Nokia's Maps. Instead of Google Search, they had Bing. So they had this like hybrid, like if Microsoft and Google got together and had an orgy kind of thing. I've always said that Nokia's build quality is beyond compare. Okay, their battery lives, unlike Samsung. Yes, that was a dig. Sorry, man. But basically, they launched this phone. It did so well. They launched the X2. And then a week later, the guy at Microsoft stands up and said, right, we're killing the X project. I'm like, what? You know? Now,
because you were the only one that was
enjoying it. Was selling up in Africa and Kenya, and it was flying off the shelves. Okay, but they saw it as a threat to the Microsoft environment because of Windows Phone, whatever it's called. Bloody hell. Anyway, and now BlackBerry does it. They came out with a Priv, which was Android-based. Then they talked about three new handsets that were Android-based, and now they're not talking about handsets anymore. So the
distractor's gone.
No,
wrong use of the word. Oh,
definitely
sorry.
Wrong.
Okay, I'm sorry.
You exhausted baiting me. So that was my sad thing. Okay. But then from sad, we get on to happy. Like I always say, us Apple users can still play last year with everyone else. Google's event yesterday.
Made by Google.
Okay. So have you ever seen a mic drop close event like that before? Did you watch the event?
I did. I didn't see it to the end, though.
So at the end, it just says, thank you, goodbye, and that's it. There was no play out. There was no music. There was no fanfare. In fact, if you looked at Twitter, it was like, okay, well, bye, Google, too.
Closed. Done.
But what I loved about it was that whole cliff. I know. Look, the show was excellent. So, I mean, let's go through. I've got pretty much five takeaways from the event that I think are relevant. First and foremost, hands down, is Pixel. Now, I don't know what your views are, and I didn't listen to all the comments. Oh, here we go. I told you I'm going to get upset with you. I don't know why they killed the Nexus brand. I don't know if they mentioned it in it, but I
don't know if you noticed, but it was blowing up.
I didn't see that.
Oh, is it the tablets, the Tab 7 Samsungs and stuff? Google Nexus.
Samsung. No, so, Google Nexus. Yes, no, it was made by Huawei, I think, or Motorola. Anyway, the Nexus brand has always been the Rolls Royce of Android devices. Mm. It's always been the first with the updates. It's always been the phone to have. Like the iPhone is the cell phone to have. Then if you had to go second choice, it was Nexus. Why they killed the brand, I'm not sure. Maybe Nexus will continue as a partner project because that's what they do. They always hand it off to the other OEMs. I kind of like the name Pixel. I mean, given the fact that every single thing we do on a screen starts and ends with a pixel. I mean, I know there'll be arguments that there's processors and stuff behind it, but the visual interface is a pixel. So I dig it. The colors that they came out with, for those that didn't see it, it's called like almost silver, really blue,
quite black. I like
and they were
black.
Rich, strong. I like that blue. They were really good, strong colors that made good, strong statements.
But the colors were only just the surface level of it. I mean, it's the best rated smartphone camera, the 12 megapixel camera that isn't extruding out of the body. It's amazing. It does 4K.
Okay, videos. So you are having an attack on Apple. I'm sitting back on the deck and I can push the button off any time. Yes, it is the best camera apparently. I wonder what Sony has to say about that because Sony's always claimed best camera in their handsets. So it'll be interesting to see their comeback.
The thing is, it wasn't them saying we're the best. They actually got the rating to come out and actually do it.
They didn't do an Apple. And this is the best iPhone we've ever made. And it's the same opening statement every year.
This is the first phone we've ever made.
The
is Google,
subtle,
really.
Non-subtle, thanks to Twitter, reference to no bump on the camera required. Yeah. I thought that was like quite
that was fantastic.
A stab.
And the fantastically, satisfyingly not new 3.5mm jack that is available in both models.
So again, if you guys don't know, haven't been following the whole iPhone, the biggest gripe from, well not the biggest, but the biggest, one of the most biggest gripes about iPhone users, the fact that they got rid of the 3.5mm jack. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. So Google was like, and our phones have 3.5mm jacks. Incidentally, there's a case manufacturer overseas that has already brought out a case for the new iPhones that has a lightning port adapter that goes into it with a 3.5mm jack hardwired into it. So you can still use...
Well, that's where the Apple model makes the most money in the accessories. But if you look at what we've discussed on the show throughout the year, and you see everything that's now been released and made by Google, I dare say that the studio is bugged because we have spoken about everything since before CES. We've spoken about how AI is going to start happening and as soon as it starts getting more contextually aware, as soon as it starts learning from what other people are doing on the sort of global scale. But then they've got VR, which is one of our sort of first loves here, and they've made the Pixel ready to go with the Daydream VR straight out the box. They've taken the Hey Google assistant, AI assistant, straight into the thing.
Hey, you're kind of running through all the whole list here.
No, I'm just saying, like, and we've spoken about storage, we've just spoken about all this, but now they've wrapped everything that we've spoken about in, what, 9 months, 10 months?
Yeah.
And stuck it into a phone. Why wouldn't I love this phone?
Look, I must be honest, and you've heard me say that on air as well. I use Google for everything. My storage is Google. I overlay onto Gmail.
And now you have unlimited storage.
Yeah, on your photos. I mean, photos. Google Photos was actually one of my app of the weeks.
Yeah.
I cannot bash Google. Yeah. I really can't. There's no way in hell.
This was a good job.
And in fact, when I was looking for my app of the week, I came across Google Slides, which is like their online collaboration presenting tool. Yeah. I mean, it's really cool. You know what I mean? These guys are next level. The only thing that does concern me is that they're moving into a hardware game now where they've never, ever been a hardware. And that takes me to my next point, which was Google Home. Okay. So Google Home is the speaker. There's an Amazon Echo that's been around. And again, they're kind of kicking people in the teeth. They basically said, well, we're cheaper than Amazon Echo. Okay. And I know Amazon is a competing product, but Amazon is still a customer of Google in many ways. You know, everyone is. Yeah, for now. So Amazon, Google Home, has come out as a cheaper, better. I must say, if it's using the power and algorithms of Google, nothing's going to touch it. You know, their voice recognition technology is amazing. So what Home is a little speaker that will reach, I think they said, up to 15 meters within your home. And you just talk to it. Say, Google, what time is my flight today?
Okay, Google.
Okay, Google. Sorry, you have to say okay,
word.
Google. Yeah, that way. But you can do it with your phone as well, I think. Mm. Ryan, you have an Android phone. You go okay, Google. It fires up, huh?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay, so it's not new, but that's where they've been testing it.
Yeah.
And that's my point. Is they're moving into hardware now, off the hard work and sweat of other hardware manufacturers. If you get what I'm saying, they're kind of like they're actually pulling a Microsoft.
It's kind of like, I don't know, the impression I got from the Made by Google last night was that if you want something done right, do it yourself. And they'd kind of been on a plan of...
Well, isn't that Apple's...
Yeah, but you can see the guys that are sort of innovating from the soft perspective start getting limited by the hardware, and the hardware guys get limited by the software. So if they had one sort of unified idea that sort of meets, the one guy came up and said... the next level of technology meets at the intersection of hardware and software, and in the middle is AI. And when you look at it, I mean, it's pretty much what any digital end-to-end solution company is doing these days.
No, I agree. Even our robotics, we're doing software, hardware, everything in it.
The full environment.
Correct.
Okay, so I'm not against that, and that's probably where my love affair with Apple's always been. But what I'm saying is that Google hasn't been that company, and Microsoft wasn't that company. And when they started playing in hardware, things went wrong. Let's be honest. Microsoft phone was a cup. I mean, it really was. I didn't even swear there because it didn't. It had more effect by not swearing. That's why I did the cup.
Couldn't even do that.
You know what
right?
I mean? But I was actually having a go because they can't get that right. So I'm not worried about Google because I know that these boys, and I've been to Google. I've been around their campus and I've seen the kind of dedication they have to hardware and everything else. I just feel that there's so many hardware things that came out yesterday as opposed to maybe more of the software side. Are they saying they can't do any more in the software world? I don't know. But will I buy a home? Definitely.
I think they're waiting for the contextual aware of the AI to start developing. As more people start to use it, so it will increase in its ability to have more context.
Yeah, and I mean, if you guys have a look at what Google's doing with quantum computing, the hardware they're developing, I mean, they're doing state-of-the-art stuff, you know.
Yeah.
So I think they're more than capable of doing hardware development.
I think the investment costs and the hardware costs of R&D in hardware, if you're not Google, you're going to... You know, you're making budgets for that. Google have got this endless back pocket that they can keep pulling into and saying, right, we need that to work now.
No, 100%. And they've actually shown it. If you look at the journey of yesterday, after Home announcement and all the cool stuff from the rah, 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 came Wi-Fi. So they've made these little self-adding, self-propagating Wi-Fi devices. You can buy one. Mm. So it acts as a router, like a normal router, but it's got a little bit more intelligence because it's obviously using a Google DNS. But then, so let's say that I think there was like $190, and then for $230, you can have two more, let's call them range extenders, but they're all wireless and they all work off different zones. And then with that layer comes the control aspect. So if the one zone is by your kid's bedroom, you just kill that and then they go offline. I'm so getting that. So, you know, and this is the thing is that they're creating this ecosystem, and they've basically said, look, we've been around for 10 years. We haven't done anything. We're here. Okay. Because it's just been this whole move from home
to Wi-Fi. It's pretty clever, though.
Yeah,
they've kind of let all the hardware guys take the patent lawsuits against each other, and then they've just kind of swooped in at the end and been like, cool, we know it's safe, let's go.
Okay, I do have to kick them in the teeth. The reason they change now into assistant. I have no idea what their thinking was all about. So Google Now was their, like, their cards. You've seen their cards that appear underneath, like, what's happening now. And you could also, it was the, the contextually aware side of Google.
Mm.
And it was called Now On or Now Here or something like that. I don't know. Now it's called Assistant. So did they need to do that? No. People had got this now. We'd thought in now. It made sense because you want to know now.
They're trying to embody this whole idea. They're trying to put everything into this AI body. And in order to do that, you kind of need to have a level of consolidation.
But there's so many assistant, inverted commas, apps already that are running around. Like, I mean, even Amy, you actually get one called Assistant for Android.
Yes.
It's got this chick standing with her hands on her. You know, Ryan's sitting and nodding. He probably uses her. Did you put brown hair or blonde hair on her, Ryan?
I can't remember.
Oh, you see. I put blonde. The thing is that I didn't quite understand that play.
Mm.
They changed Nexus to Pixel. They changed Now to Assistant. But we have saved the best for last. We're doing a double whammy here. There's no VR discussion today. It all comes, boom, here in Daydream. Brett, what do you think?
Well, we just bashed them for being hardware, but now they've gone into fashion and hardware. And I think that their headset is tremendous. The fact that previously all the other headsets we've seen are these hard, clunky pieces robotic type things that you stick on your head.
Like solid polycarbonate.
Are not very comfortable for any length of time. Some of them are immediately uncomfortable.
Yeah.
These guys have gone and actually thought about what is it that we wear. They've got microfiber cloths and stuff in there. They've actually gone to, they've looked at athletic wear and they've looked at what we wear day to day. And they've actually created this very nice material based, lightweight headset. That is ready for Pixel.
Yeah.
And it comes with a controlling remote.
That was cool.
Which is saved inside the friggin'
headset. Yeah, I was going to say, so the storage, for those that haven't seen it, so it looks like a normal VR headset, except for it's fabric. It's got a fabric touch to it. But it uses like a little clip.
Elastic, yeah.
Yeah, like a little clip on the top. So it actually looks like clothing. You're wearing something. But then inside, the part that holds your phone doubles up as a remote holder. So it comes with a remote. Now, that's also a big thing because if anyone's played VR or done any VR experiences, when the experience ends, you have to dismount and get back into your phone and then reset it. Now
you've
got a remote.
It's also not convenient to turn around in one space the whole time.
But do you see the remote also is gyroscopic enabled accelerometer blah, 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 version 1.0, hyperlace, da-da-da. So you can actually use your hand movements as opposed to your thumb movements and that to actually move or touch or go forward or backwards.
But it really will start to change the way and hopefully enhance the way people are looking at VR.
Yeah, that's what they said. And then you can actually leave the flap open. It has an air intake as well, so you don't have that feeling on your face.
And you can wear it wearing glasses.
Yes, that was my last point as well.
I really did think about those kind of things. That was impressive to see.
But the whole thing for me that also hits at home, one, price. I think they said it was about $80. Okay, let's be marketing people, $79. And they're going to give it away free with a Pixel if you pre-order the Pixel. So that's quite a thing because I don't think the Pixel's coming in a lot of money. I think it was about $300.
$649.
That was the flagship. I think it – I don't –
The five and the plus.
Yeah, I think it was $300-something dollars. I stand corrected.
Yeah.
But they're going to give you an $80 headset as well. That's – really cool.
It's only going to be released here probably end of the month.
No, maybe Elon Musk will have people in Mars before it actually gets released. Mind you, no, I take that back. We're actually not that bad anymore. I think even the iPhone arrives on the 14th. So it's not like wait forever. I think most of these companies have jacked up their production times. Brett, any other things that you had from Google from the event?
Oh, there's so much. We're going to talk about them as we go throughout the coming weeks, I'm sure.
Okay, so
I'm sure that's not the end. That mic drop may have been the end of that event, but wait.
Yeah, no, that was, I mean, like, sure.
There was some stuff that we have to chat about. We left it out last week.
I know.
DJI Mavic.
Yes.
So GoPro came and released their drone, and they were like, hey, look, we're going to do a dream.
Karma, wasn't it? It was called Karma, their drone.
The Mavic.
GoPro.
I don't know what GoPros was. I stopped paying attention once because what happened is GoPro said, hey, we've released a new drone. We've released a new stabilizing camera and it's fantastic, blah, blah, blah. It was a really great looking video. And then not even an hour later, DJI had put a teaser out there saying, wait for the 27th. 27th is coming. Don't worry, just chill. And they jumped right on the back of the wave that was the GoPro sort of trending thing. And everybody's like, what the heck are they going to come out with? And they came up with they've launched the DJI Mavic. I'm sure that's how it's spelt. That M-A-V-I-C is how it's spelt. And I'm sure you can say whatever you'd like to about it, but it is the neatest looking little camera that shoots 4K with a stabilized gimbal all in it. You can literally put it in your back pocket and go. It would have to be a bigger back pocket, but you can take it with you. And it's got 27 minutes of flying time when fully charged. So they've really thought it through. It's got GPS capabilities built in and at a very neat price of just under $1,000. They are really going to club the market in terms of what they're doing. I mean, these are the guys that brought us the Inspire 1, the guys that brought us the Phantom 4, and the guys are going crazy about it. What do you think about the Mavic, Ryan?
Well, I haven't looked into it in great detail, but from what I've seen, it really looks good. You know, and like you mentioned, that price, I mean, $1,000, that's just insane.
It's going to sell like hotcakes.
Yeah. So everyone's been hearing this voice coming in every now and then. I think let's just quickly introduce Ryan. So we've got Ryan Beach with us from Ryonic Robotics. Okay, and I think we kind of, like every week we lead into it when we're starting to get towards a robotic discussion. Mm-hmm. Brent, I'm going to cut you off because I think we actually have to, we've got to pay the bills quickly and then let's get back straight into it because it looks like we're about to go back into drones and maybe even some cool Keith bashing.
When you're growing a small business, meetings, telecons and admin move into dinners, recitals and bedtime stories. But we know you knew that. We know that between the successes and failures, the courage to continue is what counts. We also know that the right meetings, telecons and admin means better dinners, recitals at the school you want, and great bedtime stories. The courage to grow is business. We've got the advisors, products and solutions that enable you to do so. MTN Business. A new world of business.
Keeping it real. On CliffCentral.com.
You're back on the Futurology Show with B1, B2, and Ryan. If you haven't been listening, where have you been?
Yeah, what the heck? But we were talking DJI Mavic before.
Yes.
The reason why I want to stay on DJI is because they not only told everybody about Mavic, but they have made a big thing about what they're doing in an event called RoboMasters. Now,
what is RoboMasters?
RoboMasters is their sort of robot death match, if you will. And they take over a huge sports stadium. They get these different teams to have different – they have to build these different bots that have different roles and purposes within the game. They have to have rovers. They have to have nimble infantry units. And they have to have their base station robot as well. All of it using new technology like camera awareness the bots actually know what they're aiming at, who they're aiming at, are you on my team, where must I shoot? And it's really the whole essence of it is to encourage people to build robots, to develop new technologies, and to answer questions to big problems in a fun way. But they are really looking to become the robot people of the world, DJI. So if you haven't seen RoboMasters, I'm going to tweet about it now, but you have to check out the DJI RoboMasters, and that is a good segue to get us into Ryonic Robotics.
Yes.
Tell us about what
we're
doing.
Tell us about Ryonic Robotics.
We have our own RoboMaster in the studio today.
Ryonic is a South African robotics company. We started, founded, and everything is done locally. We're a bunch of local engineers, electronics, software, mechatronics.
So do we call you roboticists?
Roboticists.
There we go. You see? How's that, eh?
So we're still a young company. We've been going for 2 years, but we've developed quite a couple of robots, more for industrial applications like pipeline inspections, mining inspections. Small startup company going into our third year, but yeah, it's been going very well. We've developed a lot of exciting technology, and we're going places.
Well, we're going to get into some of that technology, but I just have to have a little anecdote. So I was speaking to a friend in Australia. One of the first times that the discussion came out, I said, do I turn left or right at the robots? And he was like, what do you mean? You know, because only South Africans call traffic lights robots.
Yeah, yeah.
So I was speaking to him on the way here this morning, today, this afternoon, whatever time, I don't know. And I said to him, you've got to listen to today's show because we're talking about robotics and robots. And he goes, you're doing a show on traffic lights. And I'm like, dude, no, we're doing a show on robots, like robotics robots, you know? So yeah, it's just weird how, you know, we've got, when South Africans think robots, I think that's probably the first thing. This is not a show about traffic lights. It's not a show about traffic signals or anything like that. This is about cool little machines or big machines that do stuff. So tell us about some of your machines, and I mean, maybe it's like a one project that really resonates. Or,
well, our first major project was our RMIS robotic crawler. It's a UGV vehicle, so it's an unmanned ground vehicle. It's used for various applications like pipeline inspections or mining inspections. So it's basically like a Mars rover. It looks very similar to the Mars rover. But on top of that, we put a lot of sensory equipment. So we can do 3D modeling for virtual reality simulation. If you want a 3D model of a pipeline or of a mine, or if you then want to immerse yourself in that 3D environment, we do a lot of NDT testing, thickness of steel.
What's an NDT? Sorry.
Non-destructive testing.
Okay.
So yeah, the robot vehicles are more a method for us to acquire data. It's about data acquisition.
Okay.
We do the software development where we take that data and turn it into useful data. But yeah, the our biggest project so far has been the RMIS crawler.
Okay, so you know, I think the question that begs here, and listening to the 3 days of Gartner last week and any research you do now, we have now entered what they're referring to as the fourth industrial revolution. I don't remember the last three. I wasn't around. Well, I think I was around for the second one. I don't know. Third one. I don't know. Anyway, it's
irrelevant.
How old are you? Old enough. When was the third industrial revolution? That was computers, wasn't it?
I know that we're going to the age of experience, where I think we've developed all we need to develop, and now we need to figure out how to use it all.
It was the
1900s. I wasn't around.
That was the first one. No, you weren't around.
Okay. So, well, maybe I was, just in a different body. So, anyway, this was a big – I mean, there were three main takeouts, and one of them was the fourth industrial revolution, and they then grouped that into IoT, Internet of Things. Are you playing in that space, or is that a separate space, or is that an ancillary space?
No, we're definitely playing in IoT. There's a lot of cross-pollination between the technologies. For me, the fourth industrial revolution's got a lot to do with how we're going to produce goods. So you're going to move away from traditional production lines. You're going to do additive manufacturing using 3D printers. So the fourth industrial revolution is not just about IoT, but actually how us as humans produce goods.
Okay, so if I look at the Japanese, or just in time, the Japanese methodology of building, and in fact I've had the privilege of going down to Toyota's plant in Durban, where they actually showed how JIT works, you know, and yes, there's still a lot of people running around, and I mean, Brett and I seem to have to say this as if we're almost apologizing for the world. We love tech, and we love machines, but we don't want people to lose their jobs. It's just is going to happen. People are going to lose their jobs or be redeployed into other types of work or services.
Correct, yeah.
But when you watch the efficiency inside that factory, I mean, I don't know, Brett, if you or even yourself, Ryan, if you've ever seen, and that's not new robot technology. It's pretty old. And it's an arm and, you know, like a extendable thingamajobby. But it just freaking works. It doesn't burn down its factory where it works. It doesn't riot outside. It doesn't take a lunch break. And it builds what it needs to when it needs to build it, you know?
No, correct. And there's now a big movement towards cobots. So the
cobots,
yeah. So that's actually almost like the ones you see in car factories, but they've got two arms.
Okay.
A very cool one currently under development in the States is Baxter 2.
It's so cool how they're giving them all names. Like IBM's got Watson and you've got Baxter. And
So it's already costing in the U.S. the average factory wage.
Yeah, average factory wage.
The average factory wage in the USA is currently $8 an hour.
Okay.
Baxter can go replace their job today as we speak for $4 an hour. So a robot already costs half as much as a human to do factory work. And the very cool part is you don't need to program it. It actually uses computer vision. It looks at what the human is doing, how it's packing or sorting or whatever it's doing, and then it programs itself. And you just go put it on that production line and it does the work.
Yeah, if you honestly want to get the philosopher started,
no. Okay, I'll just, sorry, there was like a little moment.
But But just back to what you were saying, you know, the job losses are going to come. It's inevitable. Countries like South Africa, even if the unions don't like it, they'll have to go that way because you won't be able to compete internationally if you use expensive labor to produce goods or mine or do whatever you do.
Yeah.
You need to bring automation into it just to compete. But that's why, that's one of the reasons we started this company, is to replace those jobs that are going to get lost by people who actually design and build these robots.
So, yeah, I get that. You're going to become probably the most hated man in South Africa and probably in tangent, the most wealthiest man in South Africa then as well. Again, I'm not for job loss, but I am a capitalist. And if you tell me I can halve my input cost on whatever it is that I'm doing, it's a no-brainer, you know.
But just to take a look at progress and futurology and how things change and how we should stop moaning and complaining about it is that there isn't a huge amount of people that are putting shoes onto horses these days.
Yeah.
There aren't as many bicycles unless you go to Amsterdam. There aren't as many people riding horses for purpose. It's more for play. But Ford wasn't thinking about how many people he's going to put out of jobs with all the disruptive nature of his vehicles we're going to cause.
No, correct.
So I think progress is progress.
No, then it's not the first time this has happened, you know, exactly like when Henry Ford started, you know, there were a lot of job losses related to what he did.
Well, go back before that to the printing press.
Yeah.
I mean, guys used to sit there and do it by hand.
Well, scribes, yeah.
You know, it's gone. Look, I'm for it. I just think, though, that there's a responsibility as men to be able to look after men. Yeah, you know, and I don't know how that looks, and that's always like the interesting.
I think there's too many of us.
Jeez, Louise.
The nice thing about robots is they don't get tired. They can pretty much replicate the same quality of service
better
time and time again. Well, they can do it better, but they can keep doing it. They don't get tired. They don't need to eat. So.
Dun 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 dun.
No,
dun.
No, exactly. I'm going to take it on, but this is the case for robotics, is that they don't get tired. They can keep doing the same thing for endlessly. They don't need to take a break.
Or sleep at night.
Or sleep or anything. Yeah. They don't complain. And therefore, they will always be cheaper. Until the singularity happens or AI awareness really, really kicks in and, you know, Skynet is a real thing, there will be no unions for robots to things. And eventually, robots will build robots, better robots than we can build.
Well, they already do. If you look at RepRap 3D printers, you know, they're already printing themselves. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so glad you brought that up because I wanted to find out from you, in your opinion, where does that sit in robotics? You know, I look at simple 3D printers and they're toys, but I mean, I've looked at some serious 3D printers where they're measuring up humans using lasers and finding out the size of their bones from x-rays and then producing a plastic or carbonate bone that's more malleable and all these wonderful things. And then it's precision made for you. That's robotics, or am I wrong?
No, it is definitely, and it's a very exciting space. I've personally been printing for many years.
I do as well, a little Hewlett Packard at home.
3D printing. So, yeah, I've been through quite a number of printers, from entry-level hobby printers right up to production, a couple of million rand printers. And I watch that space quite carefully, and it's very, very exciting. I actually got contacted by a supplier last week. They do direct metal laser sintering printing. We actually print metal parts. And the cost of those printers in the last year have gone from 20 million rand a printer down to a million rand a printer.
Yeah.
So you can now print
Wow.
aerospace grade parts. You can print on a direct metal laser sintering machine for about $1 million.
Okay, but now is it not time we change the name of these things? Because they're actually not printers. You know, this is the other part of the thing that bugs me, is that print by definition is to put ink on paper. That's the simplistic version. We're not using ink. We're not even putting anything on paper. We're actually forming, like cut and turn machines and all that kind of stuff. Yeah. When you start talking about making metal out of a 3D printer, I mean, that's... That you can just imagine the different applications that we can do with that. You know, the kind of
definitely the complexity of the shapes you can create. CNC machining, even if you've got a 6 or 7 axis machine, it comes with a lot of limitations. Where, you know, 3D printing in metal is just limitless. You know,
I'm just thinking of tool and die manufacturers. Yeah. I mean, there's an entire industry that we'll put out of work because to make it, the tools and the dies, that's a skill, and these guys spend hours making them. For anyone who doesn't know what a die is, and a tool, it's the two steel things that go together, normally for plastics, for molding and that. I mean, a 3D printer replaces that.
Yeah.
It's gone.
So let's flip the discussion, and not what we're going to replace, but
yes, what are we going to?
What is adopting robotic technology? And I see on your website, you guys are in a number of different industry sectors, providing amazing services to them. Some of them quite bespoke as well, and that's one of the key areas that you guys focus on, is bespoke solutions that people have what seems an impossible task in front of them, and you guys are taking them on as a challenge.
Correct, yeah. Well, if I look at the mining industry, our robot, you know, we try to take people, especially in Africa, we're very safety conscious. So we're trying to remove humans from all these dangerous situations where they actually mine or inspect pipes.
So the unions don't get us.
Yeah, well, the unions should actually like it. Yeah. You know, but we try to remove those humans and put them in safe control rooms where they monitor the robot. So our business model at this stage is not to replace humans necessarily, but just to remove them out of those situations and put them in a safe place to do
that. A robot is more expendable than a human.
Correct, yeah.
Yeah.
So we could go completely autonomous, but yeah, you know, we still include the human element to not totally eliminate jobs.
What do you build locally? You know, I know you're a local company, but I also know what we do and don't necessarily have here. Are you totally self-sufficient? I mean, do you build everything that you need, or do you still need to bring in things and machines and stuff from elsewhere?
The only stuff we really import is specialist sensors. If we need Intel chipsets, obviously those come from overseas. But everything else, even the PCBs, the circuit boards, it's all designed and built locally. We're aiming for, you know, probably 95% local content in the next 5 years.
Nice.
Okay. As the company grows, we'll do more and more dev and more products, you know, including sensors, everything.
And are you a bespoke company in the sense that you wait for a project to come in, or are you guys building stuff and then looking for the market, or have you identified the market and then providing solutions? Where are you finding most of your time?
Well, we do a little bit of both. So we've done one commercial product. It's a pipeline crawler that we're actually going to sell worldwide.
Wasn't that called a pig a couple of years ago?
Pigs are very old
pipe
school.
Inspection.
It's not kosher, yeah. Huh?
No, it's not kosher at all.
Okay.
Different kind of meat.
No, I mean, I've just come out of the new year now, guys. Come on, let's keep it kosher.
Pigs are still, that's very old school technology.
Yes.
You actually need flow or pressure. It's not self-propelled.
I was once asked to put a pencil camera onto a pig and let it go down the length from Pietermaritzburg all the way up to Joburg. I was like, what the
people
heck
can't see my
first,
face.
My first question was, why on earth are you putting a pig in the pipe?
why
does it honestly have to move all that distance? And I think that's one of the key things, is that robots are able to go into places that humans can't go to.
Correct.
Yeah.
That sort of unobtrusive space and do very broad inspections.
Yeah, well, we're not just doing inspections. We're actually now developing tools for these robots to do
maintenance
to do repairs in the pipes. So you could actually go in and fix a joint or a crack.
I know a lot of people that can fix a joint without a robot, so they're still quite capable, but that's probably not our show that we'd be discussing that. You hit the nail on the head there, Brett. We were talking about, like, excuse me, job loss, things like that, but mining, okay, or any of these type of situations where you really don't want to send human beings in. You know, I would hate to go 2Ks underground and all that. Are you playing in the mining sector? Because South Africa is a huge mining company.
Yeah, no, definitely. The RMIS crawler can work in either pipeline inspections or even mining applications. So it's a modular robotics platform, so we can adapt it for various other applications too.
Awesome. Now, we generally don't leave a lot of time in this, and we're getting already down to the skinny end. I think if people want to find out more about Ryonic, where can they find you?
www.ryonic.io.
R-Y-O-N-I-C?
R-Y-O-N-I-C.
.io.
.io.
Fantastic. We'll tweet that as well. But the reason why is I'd like to divert a bit, because there's so many startups and so many people trying to do new things, and they've got a great idea, but failure is a big part of success. Tell us some of those stories that you guys go to. I mean, you don't just become Ryonic. I mean, you started in 2014, but how did you get to a place where you were building these types of amazing machines?
It wasn't easy. You know, even the RMIS crawler, we're currently on revision 5. So we did a lot of on-site testing. We did thousands and thousands of meters of pipeline inspections with our various prototypes. So in that process, there were obviously failures. You know, we've got a bunch of professional engineers, but, you know, on paper, you can only go so far. So, you just need to stick it out, you know, not give up, you know, and even when you run into problems, just carry on.
That's a South African mindset, though, hey? We are tenacious people.
It's very tough to stop someone that never gives up.
Yeah.
And that is generally the sort of South African entrepreneurial spirit.
Yeah.
But the idea, you've lost big. I mean, we do virtual stuff and we can put something up and we haven't really lost anything but time.
Yeah.
You guys have got hard and fast, tangible stuff. How many RMIS UGVs have you lost in a pipe?
or pigs
have gone into the barbecue. It's still 20 kilometers below ground.
Actually, none. But
so they've all come home.
Yeah, but we've recovered a couple that came back quite rough.
Yeah, so they're back. They're just not as happy as they were when they left.
No, but you know what? While they were down there, the taxis came along the side, cut them off. They had to swerve. They hit the bank. I mean, you know, that's what happens to pigs and RUVG XYZs underground. I have this vision in my head when I think of robotics, you know, of like all these, I actually see Meccano, you know, like when you look at the cogs and I think that's probably my fascination with watches as in analog watches, all those little millions of cogs and levers and pulleys and all that kind of things. Robots though aren't that. I mean, they're hard machines with circuit boards. I mean,
today, yeah, it's mostly electronics, you know, the mechanicals play a very small part and a big part of it, it's actually software. All our robots we ship with control software, reporting software. So half of our company actually just does software development.
Okay, now is that your own OS or is this going to talk nicely to other OSs? Is it cloud-based?
No, it runs on Windows, so we write software that runs on Windows.
It's not going to talk to anyone.
we can do anything else, but what we find...
As long as it works.
Our client, it's about what your clients know, you know, and most people know how to
use it. Error, can't find the .dll file.
The one that didn't come back, blue screen happened.
Yeah. Blue screen, that's right. I was trying to think of the big famous. The reason I went to that question, though, is off air we were talking about, I think, Brett, you mentioned you cook and then robots at all. Maybe Ryan, you did, about how they were cooking the same as a Michelin chef.
At what point do we stop automating and what is being automated?
Now, and I said to you that if Gordon Ramsay heard you even suggest that a robot could cook like a Michelin chef, you know, there'd be hell to pay. And the words that he's going to be using are going to not even begin or end with Fs. They're going to be worse. Mm. He'll make up a word. But this is reality. I mean, I could have a robot in my kitchen cooking for me when? A year? Now?
No, there's already those kitchens available in the States.
Yeah.
And I actually think they'll do a better job than the Michelin star because they'll be consistent.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, even, you know, the best chefs have off days.
And then with Google Assistant plugged into it and getting its AI, it literally has the world's cuisine plugged into it.
I was going to say, can you see the robot? Google, okay, Google, how many inches, how many cups in a whatever?
Well, you say, okay, Google, I'm watching MasterChef Australia right now.
But now remember, it's running on Windows. It's running on Windows machine, so it's Cortana speaking to it. And it goes, "I'm sorry, I don't understand the question."
Please define food.
Is that an expensive thing, or is Brett? We were talking. We're all busy. We go to work before the sun comes up. We come home after the sun goes. And the last thing you feel like, some people still feel like cooking, but you don't have the energy. Is this something that's going to happen for an affordable price for just the normal person?
I think definitely in the next 10 years.
Yeah. Okay. That's not a long time.
Even cobots, you know, Baxter costs about $30,000 to buy once off.
And that's the double-handed one.
That's a double-handed one, you know. If you compared that to what a factory worker costs per year. I mean, it's
well, the Japanese very, very will love you. Cheap. Someone can hug them.
But that's the big thing. The initial OPEX or the CAPEX that you have to outlay is pretty steep, but the yield thereafter is amazing.
But it's gonna, like any technology, it's going to become cheaper
as more people adopt it. Exactly.
We are getting to the top of the hour. What's next for Ryonic? I mean, where are you? Have you got a niche that you're focusing on? Have you got where are you guys? Where are we going to see you?
So our next project is going to be a ship hull inspection robot. It's very interesting. If you've got a ship hull with a clean hull, you actually get 8% better fuel efficiency. So you guys can imagine the cost savings per day.
Wow.
How much diesel a big ship burns per day, you know? So we have to be busy developing a magnetic robot that actually gets propelled by the energy in the water, and you just plonk it onto the side of a ship and it just cleans all day.
You guys are clever. That sounds clever.
That is.
I'm just going to sit here and just say I'm impressed.
No, but hold on. You've got to stick up a GoPro and shit like that to film. Can you imagine, like, you're seeing that it's like what nanotechnology when it runs through your body. You've got this little dude going, like Wally. Please call him Wally. That's what Wally did.
I think
he
Pixar
was a rubbish.
Trademarked that.
No, but he was. Well, you can call him Wally with a Y. Where in the world is Wally? He's on a ship somewhere. I mean, how cool is that? We can have a game. We can do a Twitter game. But that. So you're saying that just by keeping the hull clean,
you get 8% better fuel efficiency,
which is better for carbon footprint.
Well, that's exactly what R2D2 was commissioned to do.
Yeah, that's right.
In Star Wars,
yeah,
R2D2 is a support bot.
And the other thing is you eliminate dry docking. So all of this happens while the ship's
in the
on
water.
We're about to
put ship cleaners out, dry dockers out. you know what? Let's not hang out with Ryan. There's going to be hitmen coming.
I like the disruptive thing. I was thinking about it today. Like there's interruption, which is a temporary change in the way things are. And then there's disruption, which is a permanent change to the way we do things. And I think if you don't start adopting what disrupts and getting on board and finding out a way to collaborate and innovate with robots, even cobots, we're not going to get anywhere. So I think it's amazing that it exists. I think people need to understand it more. I think education's got to be something that not just 1+1=2 education, but what is the education of the future? What do we need to know now so that we can start preparing ourselves for what's coming? I think that's cool. And I've already done my wrap
for
the day.
I was just about to say, that was your wrap of the day. It's just that it's really exciting. I mean, you probably have like the best kid's job in the world. Yeah. You know, if you probably played with Meccano or Lego as a kid and said, I'm going to now do that for a living. Anyway, we have got to the top of the hour, Ryan. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We'll call you back on the show when we've got some other robotic to talk about.
I just to quickly close off on that, when is that happening, your ship hull project? I mean, is that like now? Is that imminent, next few months?
Yeah, no, we're busy with the dev, so we're hoping to launch it by next year.
Okay, but we've got to put a camera on that as well. I mean, that's awesome content, like going in the sea. Anyway, cool. Right, so we are at the end of another show. It just goes as quickly as always. I could say until next time, keep your screens clean, but maybe Ronik will send me a robot. And thanks again to MTN Business for sponsoring our show, and we can keep them clean as well. Keep your screens clean and your knobs shiny. CliffCentral.com.